A very good first weekend of October to you. Thanks for tuning in this week's broadcast spotlighting Feed My Sheep Ministries in the city of Fresno. This week, I am not sitting across the table from Bruce Hood, founder and director of the ministry. That's because last Saturday, September 29th, was the big annual car show out at Manchester Center in Fresno, nicknamed Soberstock. It was an event to spotlight the dangers and delivery methods from methamphetamine. And on today's broadcast, going to share some of the folks that were there, some of the folks we talked to. So let's take you back right now to last Saturday, September 29th at Manchester Center in Fresno. Soberstock on this week's edition of the broadcast from Feed My Sheep Ministries of Fresno. Wandering the crowd at Soberstock at Manchester Center, and the gentleman I'm speaking with right now is
Fred Esparza.
And Fred, you got a rather unique-looking vehicle here. Could you describe it?
Well, it's a rat rod. It's pieces and parts put together. Front part of it's a 31 Ford. Back half is a touring 27 Ford. And I just shortened it up and put the two together. And whatever parts I could find at the junkyard that I can get cheap, I put them on this car.
And you, well, I'm looking at the license plate. You drive this around the streets of Fresno.
Yes, it's registered as a 27 Ford. It's tagged, insured.
Let me reiterate that for those folks who didn't catch it. 1927 Ford.
Yes, that's what it is, 1927 Ford.
I bet it's really easy to find parts for it, isn't it?
Not that easy to find parts, but you know what? I pretty much make all the parts and brackets myself. And,
really?
And whatever I can get from the junkyard, like I said, is goes on here.
What kind of a response do you get when you're, like, sitting at a stoplight and people see this 1927 vehicle?
You know, I get people hollering at me, you know, I love your car. Everybody seems to just be attracted to this car.
Wow. It caught my eye. There's a lot of beautiful cars out here, and I'm going to get to the owners of them, but this one, it's like, it was before the Great Depression.
Yeah, that it was, yeah.
Wow.
That it was.
All right, Fred, well, thanks for visiting with us, and thanks for sharing your great car with us.
All right, thank you.
Well, from 1927, next door, something a little bit newer. And first of all, who am I talking to here?
Lupe Rivera.
And Lupe, what are you showing out here today?
Just a 25th anniversary car, a Corvette.
What year is this?
78.
A 1978 Corvette. Not to be nosy, but on the open market, what's something like this worth?
No, I don't know. That one's going for 21,000.
Okay. So, that was the Stingray you pointed to
over
there?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And this is a Corvette you drive around the streets?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
What kind of looks or responses do you get from people with this one?
Well, everybody likes it when I'm driving it around, you know.
Especially the baby boomers, right?
Yeah.
All right, Lupe, thanks for being out here today.
Thank you.
And next door to the ancient Ford and the Corvette, now we've got a rather newer model here. What year is your vehicle?
It's a 1937 Ford.
1937. What is your name, sir?
Adolf.
Adolf. And are you kind of a regular at the Feed My Sheep car shows?
Yes, I am. I attend almost every car show event they have here in Fresno.
Okay. Well, tell us about your vehicle. I mean, obviously, you have put a lot of time, a lot of effort, and a lot of money into it. Tell us about the original specs on it.
Well, it's a 37 Ford. I had it for 20 years. It's considered a street rod. It's all in a Chevy running gear. It's got a 350... Chevy engine on it, turbo 350, and a 9-inch rear end on it. And it's not the fastest car on the road, but it's not the slowest either. But it gets me everywhere.
There you go. And it sure turns heads, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's nice. I love my car. I enjoy driving it.
Now, I see there's a name, Alice, on your license plate. Who's Alice?
My wife. I built it after her, for her.
Okay.
So, you know, like I said, I'm a car person.
Okay.
And I have my car, and I built this one for her.
Okay.
So in order for me to have another car, I have to build something for her, too.
You're a wonderful husband, Adolf.
That's the way I got away with it.
Exactly. I get it, honey. This is for you.
Yeah, but I get to drive it.
That should be on your license plate frame. I built it for my wife, but I get to show it.
Yeah, right. I'm the chauffeur.
All right, Adolf. Thanks for being here and being involved.
Okay, thank you.
All right, I thought the 1927 at the beginning of the row was going to be the oldest one, but I've just come across a 1925?
1925 Ford T-Bucket.
Wow, 1925. Some folks probably hear that and go, I didn't know the car was invented in 1925.
There's some that are even earlier than that.
You have put some time and love and effort and, I would guess, a few dollars into this baby, haven't you?
A couple of dollars is right. You bet. Independent suspension, the whole works.
Wow.
You can drive this down the freeway just like you can a normal car.
It's a convertible.
You got that right.
So what kind of responses do you get when you're driving your 1925 T-Bucket on the street?
They said I match the age.
I don't think you're quite that old.
No, I got a ways to go.
Now you are?
Sid Harmon.
And I guess you've got the whole family out here, and there's three other vehicles belonging to the Harmons, isn't there?
Yes, sir, there is. There's a lot of work in these cars.
Yeah. Now, you folks are from Reedley?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Well, thank you, Sid. Thank you for sharing such a great-looking car and being here today. And I guess I'll go to the next one. Who's responsible for this candy apple red vehicle? I'm assuming it's a candy apple red. Who would that be? That'd be the gentleman over here. Okay, no? They're pointing at each other. No.
Randy, Randy tell you about
one person got up and walked away. Okay. Hi, Randy.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I think he just volunteered you.
Pretty much. I don't mind. We're out here to have fun.
Tell me about this wonderful-looking short you've got here today.
This is a 39 coupe, Ford coupe. Completely restored, power windows, door locks, screws, tilt, pop doors, trunk, hood. Everything works off the...
Power windows on a 1930s car. I love it.
Power seats, power windows, cruise control.
I've got a 97 that doesn't have power windows.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Wow.
A lot of fun.
Terrific. And did I describe it right, candy apple red?
Right.
Okay, good. Glad I got that right. And you've got a matching trailer with it.
Right. We take the trailer to take our drinks in it and our seats and canopy, wow, the whole bit.
Wow, terrific. Well, thanks for being out here and being part of the event today.
Thank you.
Now, the next vehicle.
It's a 1960 El Camino.
And who does that belong?
All four cars here are Sid Harmon.
Oh, they're all Sid Harmon.
Yeah. All of them.
Okay, so Sid's kind of a collector then, isn't he?
Just a little bit.
Him and Jay Leno were maybe born at the same time, or at least the same passion.
Not quite the same money. I mean, sometimes you may think they do, but it's not.
I know Jay's got like, what, 50 or 60 of these?
Probably, yeah.
1960 El Camino.
You got the El Camino. It's completely restored. It's what they call a frame-off restoration. 427 with a 4-speed, airbag suspension, air conditioning, power windows in that too.
Wow.
And then there's the orange 40 coupe, Chevy coupe, which is completely restored, and it's got all the bells and whistles, everything.
Wow. A 40 Chevy coupe, orange. What kind of orange would you call that?
I think it's similar to like a burnt orange is what they call it.
Okay.
It's a custom color.
Wow. These are all wonderful looking vehicles you've got out here, and You wash them more regularly than I wash mine, I'll tell you that.
We don't even put water on them.
Really?
No.
How do you clean these?
Just keep them wiped down and keep them covered up.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Hint,
our windows and stuff like that don't like water.
I would imagine the paint job probably doesn't like the chlorine in the water either.
No, not at all. Not a bit.
All right, sir. Well, I appreciate you giving us a guided tour of the Harmon collection from Reedley today. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.
All right. Over here in the shade of the tree, did you two bribe somebody to get shade along Blackstone Avenue here?
Oh, no, not me. I just saw my friend parked over here, and he said, this is a good spot right over here, and that's where I parked.
Yeah, you're not going to have sun on you till probably the end of the event.
It's possible. Hopefully, when I go home, the sun comes over this way, and I'll be gone.
That's it. What's your name, sir?
My name is Bill Betancourt.
Bill, and which of the vehicles I'm looking at here are you responsible for?
Well, the one I have is this 56 GMC pickup right over here.
Okay.
And that's my little jewel I've had for about a year now, and real happy with it.
What... I know that's obviously a variation on red, but what is the official name for that color?
Well, you know, garnet red is what it is, official color of it. Garnet red, which I understand is a color that's used in other car people. It's similar, I guess. There's a lot of similar colors to that. So
kind of a rich, deep red. Very, very, it's like you could almost...
Maroon, I guess, maybe.
You could almost eat it.
Yeah.
All right. And we've got the other gentleman standing over here, and now there's two vehicles remaining to be described. Are both of them yours?
No, just the 37 Fiat.
37 Fiat.
And a 37 Ford. Mine's the Fiat.
Yours is the Fiat. And you've got, what's that caricature you got on the back of the car there?
Well, that's, I call him my elf with an attitude.
Okay. He looks like he's armed for warfare.
The car's got plenty of attitude. No doubt about it.
Is the owner too?
He's pretty mild.
Okay. Yeah. You seem kind of laid back.
Guy keeps me in check all the time.
There you go.
I got him back there where you spanked me.
I don't think I got your name. What's your name?
Bob Barton.
Bob. Thanks, Bob, for chatting with us.
You're welcome. Anytime.
All right, we did find the gentleman who owns the mysterious-looking midnight blue vehicle. You got to admit, that does look mysterious on the streets, doesn't it?
It does look mysterious, yeah. It's all been chopped and channeled and sectioned to make it look like that, of course.
I said midnight blue. Is that even close?
No, that is close, yeah. It's midnight blue with the ghost purple ghost flames on it. And it's all on air ride suspension. That's the lowest position it has right there, of course.
And yeah, you probably would have a hard time getting a credit card between the body and the ground.
Yeah, it'd be a little tough getting it in and out of spots, that's for sure. But
And I'm sorry, the make and the model again?
It's a 37 Ford, started out as a 37 Ford coupe.
Wouldn't you love to be able to go back and trace the history of who owned it, where they went, what kind of adventures they had in it?
Oh, yeah, that would be great. That's half of it. A lot of guys like own their granddad's car still and whatnot. That makes it a lot better if you could build something like definitely.
Yeah, a piece of family history. Yeah. All right, well, what kind of responses do people give you when they see that on the street?
They ask what it started as, and say it's pretty amazing looking.
Yeah.
And they're definitely interested in it.
It almost bears a slight resemblance to like the Batmobile or something.
Similar, but started out at least as a production vehicle.
You've kind of sweetened it up along the way.
Definitely, yeah. It's had a lot of work done on it. And
your name, sir?
Pat Graham.
Pat Graham. Pat, thanks for bringing the mystery vehicle out here. It's beautiful, and thanks for being involved today.
You're welcome. I'm glad I could come out and support this cause.
All right, we moved out of the shade on Blackstone Avenue, and wow, this, I don't know, is that a lime green, or what kind of green is that?
It's more of like a metallic green.
Metallic green. What's your name, sir?
Lewis.
Lewis. And tell us what vehicle you brought out here today.
It's a 1987 Chevy S10 pickup.
An 87? Boy, you got one of the newer ones out here, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Just come down the row over there, and there's a 27 car, there's a 1925 car, I mean, wow.
1927?
Yeah, right in this row over here. There's 1927 and 1925 Fords.
Oh, well, see that.
You got to check them out. 87, shoot, I almost have one of those parked in my driveway. Not as nice as that, mind you.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, Lewis, well, thanks for being involved today, and thanks for telling us about your beautiful vehicle.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Okay, as I was going down the other row, I thought I must have seen the oldest vehicles here. First, I saw a 1927 Ford. Then I saw a 1925 Ford. But now Ray De La Pena is here. And you brought a what today?
1923 G-Bucket.
1923?
Yeah.
That was just like a handful of years after the end of World War I.
Yeah. Wow. A little bit before my time, but...
Wow, yeah, a little bit before most of our time. 1923. So far, that's the oldest vehicle I've seen here. Do you know, is anybody here older than this today?
I haven't seen one yet.
Wow. What kind of a response, Ray, do you get when you're driving this thing on the street?
Oh, all over. Pictures, taking pictures of them, yelling, and thumbs up, and all kinds of stuff.
Are people shocked when you say it was made in 1923?
Yeah, 1923.
Wow. I made a remark to somebody else. Some folks probably say, I didn't know the cars were invented back then.
Well, I've seen some Model A's, Model T's, a little bit younger than this. They're not as old.
All right, Ray, well, thanks for being out here and sharing this great-looking car today.
Thank you.
I got to catch the man while he's running through. He barely got here, and now he's backing out to feed my sheep vehicle. I got to grab Bruce Hood while I can. Bruce, what do you think today?
It's been a very busy day, Ken. We've had a great turnout of people, motorcycles, cars. The whole parking lot is filled up. It's just jam-packed. And the gospel is being preached, and people are understanding that there is a God that's real.
Amen. So the turnout was what you'd hoped for?
Well, I expected a little more, but this is great. You know, I mean, everyone that I've talked to said it's bigger than it was last year.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, good. And so that's good. We're increasing.
And the weather's cooperating. I mean, it's warm, but it's not terribly hot today.
Yeah, I know. I thought it was going to be over 100 degrees today from what I heard, but it's not. It's, you know, it's really not that bad.
Good deal. So you're on the run somewhere else right now.
Well, yeah, we got to see, it's getting time to judge the cars now. And we'll be giving out the trophies about 2:45.
Okay.
And so these guys with cars, brother, I tell you, these guys are very serious about when it comes to judging them and the trophies.
Yeah.
They are really in competition with their cars. And so this here takes a lot of strategy, takes a lot of thinking, and a lot of wisdom. Because if you're not wise at this, you know, one mistake could cost you a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
You know, and you lose the favor with people. They won't come back. They won't come back with their cars, and all kind of things can happen.
I've talked to a bunch of the folks over there with the cars, and a lot of them have said that they're repeat customers. They come to the events all the time.
Yeah, and they come, Ken. All of them said practically the same thing. They came, they said, we came because of the cause.
Yeah.
And that's true, too. You know, people can go anywhere and have a Fresno Fair kind of a party.
Yeah.
But, you know, anytime we do something like this, it's for a cause, Ken.
Yeah.
And there's a great cause to be out here because methamphetamine is killing people.
Yeah.
And we've used this event as a sounding board for this event. So we all set to go November the 17th at Quigley Park.
We had talked about that. That's where you were at the National Night Out a couple of months ago, and there's going to be a big march through that low-income neighborhood. I'm assuming that's a Saturday?
That's on a Saturday, November the 17th.
Saturday, November 17th from 9 to 4 at Quigley Park. Quigley Park is located at Dakota and Fruit in Fresno, and there's going to be a big march and then a day-long series of events at the park there.
Yes, it is. You know, Ken, it's good thing we're here talking. Here's my friend, Brother Sharkey. And Brother Sharkey is heading up the bike run. Is it the 6th?
Yeah,
October the 6th? Yeah, Rescue the Children for the Fresno Rescue Mission.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then we have our other good friend standing beside him there, Brother Ron Clymer. You know Ron Clymer. Everybody knows him. Yeah. Ron is a chaplain at the juvenile hall.
I was directed to the man by Bruce Hook that we were talking with.
Yes, James Sharkey.
James Sharkey, and you've got a special event. Now, as folks are hearing this, if you're hearing it early Saturday morning, that's an event coming up today, Saturday, October 6th. And what is that event?
And that's going to be a poker run for Rescue the Children, RTC on Clinton and 99. God's doing mighty big things there. And we're doing this poker run to raise money to help this this program succeed and just be able to provide for those children and women.
From what I remember from doing the Rescue Mission program, that's the old Vagabond Inn, and it got purchased and restored, and they could house a whole lot more women and children.
Yes, yes. And so if you can make it out there, if you have a motorcycle, if you don't have a motorcycle, come out there and see what God is doing.
If folks would like more information on the event taking place, What time does the event start today, Saturday the 6th?
That it would start at 8 o'clock registration at Matthew's Harley-Davidson, and it'll be ending over at RTC at 11. That's what time the poker run will be finished, about 11 or so.
Since it's going to be Saturday morning and down to the wire, how can folks connect with you?
Yes, they can connect with me, 903-6785.
903-6785 if you'd like information about that bike run taking place this morning.
Yes, thank you, and we just encourage each and every one of you to come out there and just see what God is doing at RTC. Amen. Thank you.
All right, well, Bruce Hood directed me to this gentleman and said I need to talk to him. You are?
Lock Lee, Fresno County Case Manager for Mental Health.
Mental health, and Bruce said you've got a connection, you connect with some of the men in the program with Feed My Sheep.
Yes, sir. What I do is I interact with clients out of inpatient facilities such as the psychiatric facility, behavior health, and also Exodus. And then I would bring the clients to Mr. Hood because they can connect with him. They have AA meetings, they have religious services, they have housing, they have food. That way these men take them off the street and get them the assistance that they need.
So ministries like Feed My Sheep are a benefit to Fresno County because it helps you folks and I guess eventually saves the county money.
Yes, they will save the county a lot of money if we can link the clients to these facilities such as Feed My Sheep, because the cost of maintaining these clients would be a whole lot less than these clients going to emergency rooms, because emergency rooms are really a great service. It may not be the appropriate service for everybody every time. If they can get linked to services such as outpatient, such as ministries, then these emergency rooms can be freed up for actual gunshot wounds and stab wounds and things like that, yes.
So it's good for you with Fresno County Mental Health to be able to refer folks to Feed My Sheep?
Yes, it would be. It would be perfect, yes.
Well, bless you, sir. Thanks for being out here today, and thanks for chatting with us, and thanks for being involved with Feed My Sheep.
Thank you, sir, very much. Have a good day.
I think we have time to squeeze in a few prayer requests.
Yes, we do, Ken. Well, you know, Ken, we had a prayer a week or so ago for a young lady named Helen who has cancer that's at the point to where the doctor can't do anything about it. And so she'll be leaving, you know, unless God turns things around. But the sad part about Helen's situation is Helen don't believe that there's a God that exists. And so one of our prayer requests the last time we talked about Helen was to ask those listeners to pray for Helen that God would open her eyes to see his reality some kind of way.
Cause Bruce Hood to find great favor, because he is going to be connecting with Helen and, well, basically sharing the love of Jesus with her.
Yes, yes, yes. And I'm just kind of waiting for that door to open up to where I can go and sit down with Helen. So if those people out there listening, if you would pray that, that for Helen, number one, that God would open up Helen's eyes to see that there's a real God that exists.
Amen. Pray for that, for Bruce to find great favor with Helen. This is a prayer request we gotten from our friend Charlotte last week for Alma Burton, an 84-year-old lady slowly being paralyzed from a mass on the back of her neck. Stanford University Medical Center is recommending surgery. So 84-year-old Alma Burton, if you could pray for her as well. And I think you had a couple of others.
And then also with Helen, also pray, you know, that not only that God would open her eyes, but that God would anoint me with the right words, you know, to cause her to believe. Amen. Who was it in the Bible? Was it Festus that one of them that told Paul, you almost persuaded me?
Yeah. King Agrippa.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to almost persuade her. I want to fully persuade her.
Yeah.
Amen. So someone pray for that.
Yeah. Talk to God about Helen before Bruce talks to Helen about God.
Yeah, amen. Also, Ken, if some of you remember Chuck. Chucky was a man that was instrumental at getting the door open at Villa Margarita for all the outreach that we got going there, and the ministry that's been there for several years now. Now, Chucky, some time ago, you know, he had diabetes, and he had to have both his legs amputated because of diabetes. And, you know, and he's just been going through hell. And so now the latest about Chucky is Chucky had a stroke a week or so ago. After the stroke, he fell into a coma. Okay, and we prayed like cats and dogs, and man, I tell you, miracle how God just brought him out of it. God brought him out of the coma, but right now Chucky's in the hospital, and he's got some internal bleeding down in his stomach. They don't know exactly where it's coming from or what's going on. Chucky is very ill. He's at the point to where he's almost given up on living. And so my thought is that God didn't bring him out of that coma to give up. And so we asking people to pray for Chucky.
If you've got a prayer request or any questions about anything we've talked about today, you can call Bruce Hood in the 559 area code 978-5469, 978-5469. The pastor is giving me a high sign here.
Well, we don't want to forget Myron that broke his ankle. Young kid, and from what I understand, he's young and real energetic, and he broke his ankle on a motorcycle or racing or something like that. But the family is asking for us to pray for Myron.
Pray for a quick recovery for young Myron who broke his ankle. God is in the business for the young and the old and everybody in between. All righty. Get involved with Feed My Sheep Ministries. It can't happen without you, the body of Christ, being involved in whatever way you get involved. And thank you, listener, for joining us for this week's broadcast from Feed My Sheep Ministries of Fresno.